New Mexico Talks right here.
Sharp broadcast. Really good.
94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio KKOB.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from the senior community. You're calling, suggesting more ideas. We're listening and continuing to add content, so please keep that up. If you have suggestions for topics or a guest you'd like or enjoy hearing from, please let me know. Okay, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good, wonderful afternoon.
Happy Father's Day to all those out there that are fathers. Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population, news, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other senior topics. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our office phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770kkob.com and go to the Gray Matters program show page. All right, today on my show, my guests are Brad Yablonski, I think I said that right, Brad, with UBS Financial Services, and Shanna Frost with Meals on Wheels. We're going to open up the phone lines, so please call if you'd like to ask a question. Brad is, because of his compliance situation, he can't answer a question for you, but we can get your contact information, and he can contact you at a later date. The phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. So talk about how benefits work and how someone can qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So for somebody to have their own Social Security record, they have to pay into the system for 10 years or 40 quarters. I don't know if people know this, but every time somebody earns income, 6.2% is paid into this thing called Social Security, right? So it's 6.2% for me. It's 6.2% for my employer. If you're self-employed, you have the privilege of paying both halves, but it's basically an eighth of everything that you make. So that's the case whether you're 10 or 100, whether you like it or not, you're paying a ton of money into this thing called Social Security, and then at some point you can eventually get the benefits back out.
It's fascinating. Well, you know what? I'm 61.
I wouldn't know what to look at you.
Oh, thank you, Brad. Anyhow, so as time goes on, I'm more and more thinking about these things.
Sure.
So this, in fact, my wife and I were talking last night, and I said I'm having Brad on the show, and this is what he's going to be discussing, and it's something we both need to learn about. So.
Sure.
Timing's good.
Yep.
What's the earliest that I can claim?
Well, you're right on the cusp, my friend. So 62 is the earliest that somebody can claim Social Security. One of the things that I would point out, though, is so if you claim at 62, you're not getting your full benefit. If you claim at 62, you're going to get roughly 70 to 75% of the benefit, right? So the good news is you get the income sooner. The bad news is you're getting a smaller benefit. And unfortunately, that smaller benefit, that reduced check, would be in play for the rest of your life.
So at 66, you qualify for the full benefit.
Exactly. So 66 is full retirement age, or FRA, if anybody has ever seen that acronym. And that is, you're 100% correct, Dirk. So that's when somebody gets their full benefit. And then from 66, or whatever full retirement age might be, until 70, the benefit grows at a rate of 8% per year. I'm not sure if anybody out there is earning 8% in checking or savings accounts, maybe CDs, probably not. 8% per year is pretty substantial, especially in today's economy. So not for everybody all the time, but for some people some of the time, that extra 8% per year is a really neat way to strategize the Social Security.
That's significant.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things, and you're probably familiar with this, that we do at New Mexico Reverse, in some cases we use the reverse mortgage as a strategy to delay taking Social Security. And And that's helped a lot of clients.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I have actually started talking about that some in my Social Security presentation. And I do have some dates coming up. Just remind me and I'll mention those at the end of the show. But I think in the same way that people probably have some questions or concerns about Social Security, I think there's a lot of misinformation about reverse mortgages. And I think that sometimes it's just information. We were talking about this earlier. It's not good or bad. But sometimes if we're looking at the bigger picture, a reverse mortgage can absolutely be an essential part of planning.
Mm-hmm. Can I keep working after taking my benefits? Is there a limit on my earnings?
That's a great question. So yes, and then kind of maybe sort of. So here's the way it works. If somebody is still working and they claim Social Security, they can only make $16,920 per year. If call it $17,000 just to keep the math simple. If they go over $17,000, then every $2 they go over, they'll pay back $1 in benefits. That is starting with age 62 up until full retirement age. Now, once somebody hits full retirement age, they can claim Social Security, they can work, they can make as much money as they want, and there's no give back. But prior to full retirement age, if they're working and claiming Social Security, they're going to hit that $17,000 ceiling pretty quick.
And then for, you said, for every $2 you make, they're going to give back a dollar.
Exactly. Now, eventually, if somebody claimed early, they're paying all this money back to Social Security. Once they hit their full retirement age, let's just call that age 66, the benefit would be recalculated, and they would actually recoup those dollars that they had paid into Social Security. If they live long enough, they'll recoup the entire amount. But when you look at the fact that Social Security is probably going to be taxed and some other inefficiencies, I don't know that it makes sense to claim Social Security if somebody is working. And I've seen, you know, this happens every year, Dirk. So there are people that are working, they claim Social Security, they wait for that first check with bated breath, and guess what? It never shows up. And the reason is because of this dynamic. It's called the earnings limit or the earnings test.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I thought this was interesting. We talked a little bit about this. I'm divorced. Can I get benefits from my former spouse's work record?
So you had a starter spouse?
Oh, actually a couple.
It happens. So the answer is yes. Spousal benefits and actually ex-spousal benefits are often treated the same way, at least in the eyes of Social Security. Spousal benefits or ex-spousal benefits are 50% or half. So if I'm married or if I was married, I'm eligible for half of my spouse's benefit. In the case of divorce, there are a couple of rules. The marriage must have lasted 10 years. My ex has to be at least age 62, and I have to be unmarried. And I'll tell you a quick story. I'm sure some of our listeners remember Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
I know he's deceased at this point. Johnny actually had four ex-wives, and three of those marriages lasted 10 years or more. So check this out. Johnny's ex could get half. Johnny's ex could get half. Johnny's ex could get half. Johnny gets all of his. Johnny's current wife would get half. Doesn't take any money out of his pocket. He would actually never know that those women claimed against him.
Really?
That's sometimes the point in my presentation at which people say, well, no wonder the system is going broke.
Wow. Well, you know what? Walk us through. When somebody comes and sits down with you, Brad, how do you initiate the conversation? Is it just tell me about that conversation.
Sure. And just to be clear, I don't work for Social Security. I always encourage clients or potential clients to confirm everything that I say through Social Security or through the Social Security website. And as a matter of fact, when I'm talking to somebody, there's always a bigger picture in mind. Our team uses financial planning software called the Financial Goal Analysis, or FGA for short. So whatever Social Security decision that person might make is always put in the context of the bigger retirement picture, investments, earnings, that sort of thing.
Okay, great. All right, well, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on 770kqob.com. Before I continue my conversation with Brad, I told you recently about a new segment that's called Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. Last week we discussed Kohl's giving a 15% discount to those 55 plus every Wednesday, and Ross offers 10% off to those 55 plus on Tuesdays. And now I want to let you know about Jiffy Lube and Midas, offering service discounts that vary by locations. And be sure to ask your neighborhood auto repair shop as well. But each week, remember to listen for Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. And Bob wanted me to tell you, there may have been a few of you that tried to call in, but Bob gets awfully busy. If he wasn't able to get to you, please call back in. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Brad Yablonsky from UPS. Brad, give us your contact information and how people can reach you.
Sure, yeah. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is just give me a call. I answer my phone directly. The number is 505-880-2720. So again, 880-2720. I promise if somebody calls, I will actually call them back.
Okay. And you have a couple of presentations coming up.
I do.
Let us know about when those are.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So Tuesday, June 20th, I will be at UNM at 8:30 in the morning speaking on Social Security. I'm typically at UNM the third Tuesday of every month. Later that evening at my office, so again, Tuesday, June 20th, 5 p.m. at my office, I'm in the Uptown neighborhood. I'm doing a presentation on planning for Medicare, slightly different subject, but just going into the details of what Medicare covers, what it doesn't, some of those costs, and then some planning strategies. And then Friday, June 23rd, I will be at the New Mexico Society of CPAs, again, speaking on Social Security.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's pick back up. If I never worked, but my spouse did, can I have access to the Social Security benefits?
That's another great question. The short answer is yes. So I mentioned earlier that spousal benefits are half or 50%. I did also mention previously that somebody has to pay into the system for 10 years or 40 quarters to have their own record. So let's just use a hypothetical situation. There's a husband and a wife. Let's say the wife, not that she didn't work, she just didn't work outside the home. She doesn't have her own Social Security record. She is eligible to claim a spousal benefit on her husband. And again, spousal benefits are half or 50%. And I stress this point too. Sometimes if I'm talking to small business owners and they artificially put a spouse on the payroll just for purposes of Social Security or Medicare, that might be self-defeating. Now, maybe there's other reasons for insurance or whatever, but keep in mind that spousal benefits are half. So even if I don't have my own record, if I'm married, I'm still eligible to claim half of my spouse's benefit.
And it's my understanding, and I may be way off base, but if let's say Lois and I both are collecting Social Security and I die, she has the choice of taking the higher amount. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. And not to sound morbid, but there is sometimes some planning or strategizing that we can do in the case of survivor benefits. So I mentioned that spousal or ex-spousal benefits are typically half. When we're looking at survivor benefits, that's the whole thing. So in the case that you just mentioned, perhaps Lois would claim on her record, switch to your record at a later date, or perhaps she would claim on your record, switch back to her record at a later date. So when it comes to survivor benefits, there's actually a little more flexibility in terms of planning.
But you need to do the planning.
Need to do the planning.
Mm-hmm.
Need to do the planning.
Okay, well, if my spouse dies before taking Social Security, can I still get a widow or widower's benefit?
Absolutely. Again, the short answer would be yes, and then it just depends. We would look at the numbers and look at some different planning opportunities. I mentioned earlier that typically the earliest somebody can claim Social Security is 62. The exception to the rule is in the case of a widow or a widower. Now the benefits can be taken as early as age 60.
Really? Okay.
But not if the person remarries before age 60. That's an important but, okay? So I know that there's enough rules and it's probably complicated and confusing, and that is sometimes why people will spend a little bit extra time with me just to really zone in on their specific situation. But in the case of survivor benefits, a widow or widower does have more flexibility. They can claim as early as 60, but not if they've remarried prior to age 60.
Okay. Do I pay taxes on my payments?
Probably. It depends, and at some point I have to say something clever like I'm not a CPA and I cannot give tax advice. And that being said, depending on other sources of income, earned income, pensions, etc., there is a reasonable likelihood that some percentage of the Social Security benefit will be taxed. And that ties back into something that I mentioned earlier as far as retirement planning. I would say retirement is more of a subtle art than a specific science. And so when I'm meeting with somebody, all of these different factors absolutely weigh in. Is somebody working? Are they not working? How much provisional income do they have? And how might that affect Social Security? And if Social Security is going to be taxed, is there perhaps some clever planning that we can do to be more efficient and minimize the tax consequences?
You know what? This stuff is just fascinating to me because there's a lot more to it than you might think there is.
Sure.
But that becomes very evident when you sit down and talk to somebody like you.
Sure.
But we've got a call. Mark is calling. Welcome to the show, Mark. How may we help you?
Hi. I'm 64. I'll be 65 in September. I intend to work for at least a couple more years. I have a good health insurance plan at work. What do I need to do about Medicare?
Well, for now, probably nothing. It sounds like you have good health insurance through your employer. This might sound like a silly question, but I'm assuming that there's at least 20 people who are on the same health insurance plan that work at your company?
I believe so.
Okay. That, and I can explain more if I were to talk to you one-on-one, but that 20 number is an important threshold. But assuming there are 20 or more employees, then it sounds like you don't have to do anything. I know that a lot of people, rightly so, understand that they're supposed to sign up for Medicare when they are 65. The exception to the rule is typically if somebody is still working and has what's considered creditable coverage, creditable meaning it's as good or better than what you would get from Medicare. And if you plan to continue working past age 65, you're fine. There's no late fees. There's no penalties. There's no surprises. When you finally stop working, you will have 8 months to sign up for Medicare.
Mark, thank you for calling the show. Appreciate the call. All right. What can is there anything that that my spouse and I can do to increase our benefits, Brad?
Sure, absolutely. So I did mention earlier the dynamic of the extra 8% per year from full retirement age until 70. I think people probably underestimate how powerful that can be, especially if you look at the dynamic of compound interest. There was a strategy called file and suspend. It was a really cool way to coordinate spousal benefits. Congress, in their infinite wisdom, passed a bipartisan budget bill a couple years ago. They did away with that strategy. There is still a strategy for some folks. You have to be born prior to 1954. It's called a restricted application. And just as a quick example, maybe I would wait until 70. I want to earn that extra 8% per year. I can do a spousal claim on my wife as soon as my full retirement age. I would get half of her income while still earning the 8% per year. I finally hit age 70. I switch back to my record. That's a pretty cool way to strategize the benefits.
Is there, if you took a percentage of people, let's say 10 people, how many of those will wait till they reach 70?
Boy, that's a really good question. It depends on which report or statistic you read, but I'm seeing reports that indicate somewhere around 1 to 2% of the general population waits until age 70. Typically, more than 50% of the population will claim at age 62.
Really?
And that's not to say that claiming early is the wrong decision. And at the risk of repeating myself, I would just strongly encourage people to consider the bigger picture. Maybe, you know, my dad passed away when he was 67, as an example. Had he been waiting until 70, he would have taken zero from Social Security. Zero is clearly not a good strategy. But this is one of the biggest financial decisions that we will ever make, ever. And I would just strongly encourage people to consider that and look at some of the other moving parts.
Do I qualify for benefits as a spouse if I'm now in or the surviving spouse of a same-sex marriage?
Sure. So that, well, it's not as in the news as it was. That was a very controversial topic a couple of years ago. There was the repeal of DOMA. And if you look at the Social Security website, they are now encouraging same-sex couples to apply as any other married couple would. I might mention that whether it's a same-sex or heterosexual couple, a couple has to be married for at least 1 year to coordinate spousal benefits. But the short answer to that question is yes.
Okay. And Brad, will you explain again, if somebody's thinking about, you know, trying to figure out what their benefits are going to be, you probably suggest that they go to the Social Security website.
Sure.
But just in general, it's how many quarter, what do they look at?
So I have to pay into the system for 10 years or 40 quarters. That's the minimum. That's just to have my own record. Now, that being said, Social Security is looking at the highest 35 years of earnings. And that's the case for everybody. So if somebody has paid in for 10 years, they will have their own record. But since the formula or the math is 35 years, that means they're going to have 25 years of zero on their record. So obviously the more that somebody works, the longer they work, the more income they generate, the bigger or more substantial the Social Security benefit might be.
Is it averaged over the 35 years?
It is. It's average. It's indexed to inflation. The math or the formula is kind of nuts. It seems like Social Security is made just about as complicated as possible. And I do actually go into some of the specifics of that formula in my Social Security presentation. But yes, it is averaged over those 35 years.
And just this is just a general question. You know, people worry about, is it going to last?
No, I think that's a really good comment or really good question. It's interesting just for me, generally speaking, I do a lot of presentations both on Social Security and Medicare. It's rare that I do a Social Security presentation that concern is not brought to the forefront. I can tell you that Medicare is actually a lot less solvent than Social Security is, and there's more issues with Medicare funding than Social Security. But that being said, Social Security, I feel like it's incredibly solvent. I have basically zero concern that it's going bankrupt. And honestly, if it does, there's probably bigger issues than money because you're talking about the federal government.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense. How do I apply for the benefits?
Anymore, I am encouraging people to apply online for a couple of reasons. The application's pretty straightforward, and also there's a date and a timestamp. And if people have questions, again, they're more than welcome to get in touch.
Okay, great. Give me your contact information and tell us about the presentations again.
Absolutely. So my direct phone number is 880-2720. Again, that's 880-2720. The presentations, there's two on Tuesday, June 20th. One at 8:30 a.m. at UNM. I'm doing a Medicare presentation on Tuesday, June 20th at 5 p.m. at my office. I'm in the Uptown neighborhood. And then Friday, June 23rd at 8 a.m., I will be at the New Mexico Society of CPAs.
Okay, great. Brad, thank you for being on the
show. Thank you. It was my
pleasure. All right. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. All right. For you longtime listeners, you know right now is our weekly Q&A questions. And we had a couple of emails sent in to us after last week's show when I went over a couple of the myths or the misconceptions, and I want to address those. Number one, the question was, your children or estate won't inherit the home. The fact is, upon death of the last person on the reverse mortgage, the home does pass on to whomever you've chosen to inherit the property. Your heirs will then decide if they want to refinance to keep the home or sell it and keep the proceeds. The second myth that was emailed about was, if the mortgage grows larger than the value of the home, the lender will evict me. The fact is, rest easy. A reverse mortgage is non-recourse loan. You pay for mortgage insurance, which protects the lender's interest. If the bank takes a loss on the transaction, they submit a claim to be reimbursed. Even if the home's upside down, you are absolutely able to continue living in the home for as long as you wish, providing that you continue to pay your property taxes, homeowner's insurance, and maintain the property. So those are our question and answers for this week. You can email me at Dirk, D-I-R-K, g@reversenm.com or call my office at 897-4900. All right, my next guest is Shanna Frost with Meals on Wheels. Welcome to the show, Shanna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, this when I talked and you said that you'd come on to the show, I got excited because I know very little about what you do, like next to nothing. So tell us about your background.
Okay. So I actually started with Meals on Wheels as a volunteer about 10 years ago. I was in the for-profit sector. I was in marketing, and I started volunteering. I was a volunteer driver. I got hooked. I fell in love with the people that I was delivering to, and I had a unique skill set. I did a lot of graphic design that they didn't have on their staff, so I started asking, how can I get more involved? And so started with marketing committees, ended up on the board, and then when the executive director decided to retire, I applied for her position and they hired me.
Good for you. Who started Meals on Wheels?
You know, this is an interesting story. Meals on Wheels actually started over in Europe during World War II, and nurses would take food in buggies around to people who couldn't get out of their homes, and that's how Meals on Wheels started.
In Europe.
In Europe.
Is it throughout the United States? Is it something that's widespread?
It's throughout the United States. We're all independent. So there is a Meals on Wheels Association of America that people can join, and they provide networking and training. But the individual Meals on Wheels programs themselves are all run independently. We don't receive any funding from the national organization. And so we really get to pick and choose how we each want to run our organization. Some take government funding, some do not. We don't. Some choose what kind of meals they serve. They can choose who they deliver to, and how the programs are set up.
Okay. Well, you know what? You brought up funding, so let's talk about that.
Okay.
You said you don't take government funding, but some do.
Yes.
So what do you do?
So we run entirely on private donations, grants, foundations, that kind of thing. We do have a private pay service that helps support the organization so people can pay us to deliver meals to them. If they, need a meal and they have the funding to be able to pay for it themselves, we ask that they do. Our low-income program is fully supported by grants and donations. However.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two questions there.
Okay.
So if I'm a private person, how do I make arrangements to get a meal?
You can just call us. We make it really, really easy. You can call us or you can go online. We actually have sign up online. And most of the time, if you call us before noon, we can get you started the next day. It's very, very simple. We just run through a quick list of who you are, what kind of diet you need, where do you live, that kind of thing. And we get you set up and out the door. Yep.
Okay. And you also mentioned low income.
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
So we qualify our low income program based off of the federal poverty guidelines. So it's not just this random arbitrary number that somebody in the back office came up with.
Right.
We go by the federal poverty guidelines. If you are at or below 100%, we can offer you a free meal. If you are between 100 and 135%, we offer you a reduced cost meal.
And how, when you say that you provide a meal, is it like breakfast or lunch or?
It's a hot lunch meal. So you get a hot center plate and two hot sides, as well as a small dessert, a small salad, and a milk as well. So we have very specific guidelines that we follow. We do 8 different types of diets. So we work with a registered dietitian to make sure that we're serving the proper food for the different conditions that we treat. And she looks at the meals as 1.5 meals for the day. So if you would assume that somebody would be eating 3 meals a day, we are serving half of their daily intake.
And Shauna, you oversee a fairly large operation.
Yes.
How many people?
So we deliver 550 meals Monday through Friday. They're all freshly cooked in our kitchen. We have a full kitchen staff back there creating food every single day. I'd say throughout the year, we do between 1,200 and 2,000 unduplicated clients are on our rosters every year.
And is your staff that works in the kitchen, are they all employees or some of them volunteers?
So it's about half and half. We have 18 employees that are, you know, on paid staff, and we have about 400 volunteers. So
really?
Yes. So anytime you kind of walk around our offices, probably about half the people that you see are going to be volunteers, and all the deliveries are made by volunteers, which is a really important part of our program, sometimes even more so than the food itself. You know, we do yearly surveys, and about 80% of our clients say that the volunteer that we send to their door every day is the only person that they get to see on a regular basis. So that human contact and having somebody come in and say, hi, how are you? And really a wellness check can be as important or more important than the meal itself.
So do you have, in regard to the volunteers, do people, will they volunteer around holidays?
So what we ask for is a 6-month weekly commitment is what we ask for. And the reason why we do that is because we really want our volunteers, especially our drivers, to be able to get to know our clients. So what we will do when somebody comes in to volunteer for a driving position, for example, we will schedule them to drive on the same day to the same people every single week. And what we found is by creating that relationship between the volunteer and the client, they'll come to us and they'll say, you know, Johnny wasn't home today and I could hear his dog barking. And I know that he takes his dog everywhere. He would never leave without his dog. I think there's something wrong. And that allows us to follow up and make sure that everything is okay. And there have been many times that we found people who have fallen on the floor or who had strokes that we've been able to find.
Shauna, give us your contact information.
Phone number 823-8065 and website mow-nm.org.
Okay, great. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Please listen for my future guests and show dates at the end of the show. I'm continuing my conversation with Shauna Frost from Meals on Wheels. And Shauna, what are some of the things that make your program unique?
Well, one of the things that we're most proud of that makes us unique is the 8 different types of diets that we serve. So we do everything from a regular diet. We call it the Paula Deen diet. It has butter and sugar and fat and salt and all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. We also offer a heart healthy diet, which is low sodium, diabetic, people who are suffering from renal failure. We have a diet that can help them. People who eat vegetarian, we have one for them. And we do 3 different types of different textures. So as you get into a population that sometimes suffers from Alzheimer's and dementia, they can start forgetting how to chew and swallow. Mm-hmm. And we offer 3 different types of textured meals for them so that they can stay home and remain in their home for as long as possible.
And you were talking about on break that your private, I think you call them your private meals?
Private pay, yes.
Private pay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've added some services there. So.
Yeah, we just launched at the beginning of this month breakfast and dinner. And so we are the only home delivered meal program in Albuquerque right now where you can get breakfast, lunch, and dinner delivered to your home by a friendly face.
That's great. Do you, where are your locations, or do you just have the one in Albuquerque, and where do you service?
So we have the one kitchen in Albuquerque. We actually use the kitchens out of Presbyterian Northside. They are very generous in allowing us to use their kitchens. But we do deliver to all over the Albuquerque metro area.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Including Rio Rancho and Corrales.
What is the cost of a meal?
The cost for a private pay meal is $6.50, and that is the hot center plate, the 2 hot sides, the salad, the dessert, and the milk. We also offer frozen meals, so our hot meals require somebody to be home between 10:30 and 1 every day because they're delivered every day. Our frozen meals are a better option for people who like to get out of the house a lot. They're only delivered on Monday, and those are $5.75 a meal.
That's awfully reasonable.
It is, especially for home delivery.
Yeah. Is there a fee for the delivery?
Nope. It's included.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
What a wonderful service you guys provide.
Thank you.
Tell me about your LIFE program. I guess that's low-income food and enrichment.
Yes, correct. So we were just talking about our private pay program. Our LIFE program is the low-income portion of that. It is where we take the donations that we get, the grant funding that we get, and we offer the same exact services that we offer our private pay members to low-income people who can't afford it for themselves. Unfortunately, we have a wait list because we're privately funded. We just don't have the funding to take everybody and give them a meal that needs it. We have about 100 people on our wait list right now.
Okay. Is the... when somebody, well, I asked you about signing up. That's mm-hmm. that's an easy process.
Yes.
If somebody's listening and they would like to donate to mm-hmm. Meals on Wheels, how do they go about doing that?
So they can go to our website. That's probably the easiest way, mow-nm.org, and there's a donation button right there. They can also give me a call, and we can take information over the phone. My direct line, 823-8065. They can always stop by the office. They can send us a letter. We're pretty easy on how we'll accept donations.
Okay, great. Well, how can people help Meals on Wheels? Okay, we talked about donations, mm-hmm. volunteers. Talk about a little bit more about the volunteers.
Yes.
And then the events.
Okay. Our volunteers are truly the lifeblood of the organization. As I mentioned before, about 18 staff and over 400 active volunteers in any given year. We're always opening new routes, expanding routes. We've increased our services about 50% in terms of the numbers of clients that we serve. And so we're always looking for more drivers. About half the people who work in our kitchen are volunteers as well. We're also always looking for people to help us out in the office, answering phones, filing paperwork, pretty much any kind of office work that you can imagine we need help with because we're such a small office. And they can also go online and learn more about the different positions that we have available. They can sign up right online to go to one of our volunteer orientations, or they can give us a call and we can sign them up that way as well.
How many staff do you directly oversee?
All of them.
Good answer.
Yeah. You know, as the executive director, ultimately the responsibility comes down to me. In the office, there's about 4 or 5 people in the office at any given point in time. The rest of them are all in the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you start at, you said 6 in the morning.
The kitchen opens at 6 in the morning. We don't ask our volunteers to come in at 6 in the morning, though. We let them wait till like 7 or 8.
And then what time do you close?
We close, usually somebody's in the office till about 5. Our office hours state 9 to 2, and that's to, since we're such a small staff, that gives the office staff a little bit of time if they can't get to a phone call to feel okay finishing their office work that they have to do on a daily basis. So.
Okay, since you run the whole show, you've got about 40 seconds or so.
Okay.
Tell me about your typical day.
Oh, gosh. I arrive. I put out fires. I go in the kitchen. I definitely make sure I get myself some coffee. Sometimes if we have a volunteer that doesn't show up, I get to drive a route, which is one of my absolute favorite things. If I'm not driving a route, sometimes I'm giving a tour in the kitchen to a volunteer or a donor or a group that's interested in who we are and what we do. Constantly making phone calls. We're very big into processes and procedures, and so my last half of the day is usually spent doing that.
Okay, give us your phone number once again, Shauna.
823-8065.
Great. All right, thanks for being on the show, Shauna. All right, I want to tell you about my next 2 weeks guests. June 24th, I have Marnie Jameson, Downsizing. Marnie's a nationally known speaker and has a syndicated radio talk show. July 1st, Steve Kerr and Paul Wilson, a real estate agent, will be on the show. I want to thank Brad Yablonsky, Shauna Frost, for being my guests. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KOB team for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of Reverse Mortgages and Seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office number is 505-897-4900 or go to 770kqob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgage NMLS number is 1102656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If a borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, or KKOB. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirt Gray.